The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them on the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out again about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." And so they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out at 5 o'clock, he found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day long?" But they answered, "No one has hired us." And he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, we who bore the day's burdens and heat." And he said to them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give the last one the same as you? Am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first shall be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, this parable is found only in Matthew. But the last 2 days, we've been reading chapter 19 in Matthew. We're now into chapter 20 here. And all three teachings of all 3 days have a very pronounced teaching. There's a nexus between all of the three gospel readings these days. And it has to do with the manner in which Jesus responds to us. It's very difficult for us to grasp the notion of unconditional love. We live in a human experience where there's always a condition on love. I mean, how many chances do you get? I mean, three strikes and you're out. Even in our best relationships, there's always a human limit. And because that's our human experience, it's very difficult for us to grasp the notion of infinite and unconditional love. Remember the last couple of days in the readings here where it says, you can't earn heaven. Now I hear prayers in the Mass that we may earn eternal life. You can't earn eternal life. To earn eternal life is to deny the fact that eternal life is a gift. It comes from God's infinite love. If you have to earn it, it's not love, it's a trade. That's the first one. He said, "We made an agreement with you for a usual daily wage." That's an agreement, that's a contract. But then the others in this, he says, but the manner in which the landowner expresses the presence of God is in that he blesses all people, especially those who don't deserve. Those who came last were blessed with equal generosity as those who came first. And therefore, to experience the love of God is not to fulfill a contract. I was good, and therefore I deserve something from God. God's love is infinite, unconditional, given to everybody. Now, that's a very difficult concept for us to grasp. And of course, we say, well, if that's the way it is, why don't I just be reckless because God's going to love me anyway? Why should I live a good life? Well, you should live a good life because the meaning of life, the quality of life, the value of life is based on character. It's based on being decent, honorable, faithful. You don't love your wife because you have a contract. You love your wife in response to love given to you. Love is always a response. So the first reason we should live a good life is that it's the only way to live. Those who cheat and those who lie and those who are filled with greed are never happy. There's no meaning in their lives. The meaning of life is somehow attached to the quality, the character, the manner in which we live. It's the only way to live a full life. The second thing is that God's infinite love should not be disregarded. We live a good life in response to God's love. I'm not fearful of going to hell. I have many sins and many failures in my life. But God's infinite love is my salvation. That's it. And once you experience God's infinite love, in response to that, you will live a good life. You'll fail, but you'll know that God forgives you and that God calls you back into his love. That's a difficult concept for us to grasp. We do good things, we expect rewards. You don't love your children because they're perfect. You love them in their imperfection. Love isn't love unless it's inclusive of those who fail. So when we get to the church and we are an expression of the infinite love of God, a human expression of it, who should we exclude? The people that come at the end of the day, the people who didn't do much, didn't perform, didn't convince us of virtue. Is there a place in the kingdom of God for those who come at the end of the day, who haven't sacrificed and haven't performed and haven't demonstrated, haven't shown that they're worthy? Is there a place for them? Read the last few days of Gospels. You can't buy heaven. You're a rich man. The fact that you're rich doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. It's something to do with the quality of life. Once we become convinced of God's infinite love for us, then life will unfold and the manner in which we live will be a response to God's love. God's love will bring out the best in us. You know, we have people in life that bring out the worst in us, and then we have people that bring out the best in us. And those who bring out the best in us are those from whom we have experienced love. So let the power of Jesus Christ bring out the best in us. Amen.